This weekend, the Fresno State Master of Fine Arts Program in Creative Writing is hosting a showing of a new documentary all about Fresno State alumnus Larry Levis. The nationally honored poet grew up in Selma. To tell us more about the film, A Late Style of Fire, Larry Levis, American Poet, FM89's Ezra David Romero spoke with the film's director, Michelle Paulos, and producer Gregory Donovan.
Tell me first a little bit about Larry Levis himself. What is he known for?
Larry Levis grew up in the Central Valley of California. He was born in 49 in Fresno, and he spent most of his childhood there working on his father's family farm. He grew up working alongside Mexican field hands, and those experiences were very important to him, and he later wrote about those experiences in his poetry and in his essays. Many of the poems that he is known for involve and are expressing and interrogating those formative experiences for him. He also writes about so many other things, but that's certainly one of the things that we see very often in his poetry. He studied poetry with Philip Levine and Peter Everwine and Charles Hanzelcheck. Those are all poets in the Fresno area, and they were very important to him growing up as well, especially Philip Levine, who became a brother in poetry and a lifelong mentor and friend. They exchanged poems and letters their adult lives. As Larry grew up, he continued his relationship with him, and they were very important for each other. And Larry then went on to teach. So he was a writer. He was a teacher. He taught at Virginia Commonwealth University. He taught out in Utah and a number of other schools. And he ultimately, sadly and tragically, died when he was just 49 years old while he was teaching at Virginia Commonwealth University in Richmond, Virginia.
So what got you interested in making a film about him, documenting his life? What inspired that?
You know, I had been living in New Orleans, and I'd been studying creative writing there at University of New Orleans. I was starting a program there, and I actually moved to New Orleans about 2 weeks before Hurricane Katrina hit. And so that experience upended my whole life, as you can imagine. I left New Orleans, and I contacted some of the people, the teachers at Virginia Commonwealth University here in Virginia, and they very kindly and graciously took me in as a Katrina orphan. And so when I moved to Richmond, I was immersed in the literary community here. I met all kinds of people that had known Larry Levis. I met his ex-students. I met ex-girlfriends. I met, all kinds of people. And I was hearing all kinds of stories about Larry Levis everywhere I went, parties, events, people would talk about their experiences with Larry. And it really got me even more interested in his work and his life story. So I started reading a lot of his poetry, reading his essays, and became quite fascinated with him. And also I recognized that many of the people that knew him were getting older. I was kind of worried that some of those really important stories would be lost. And I just ended up doing a few interviews with some people out here. And that kind of led into this whole five-year project.
So you sort of try to answer this question, in the film, like, what am I willing to give to my art? And then, like, Larry gave everything. What did you discover in that sense, about giving everything for art in this process?
Yeah, that was definitely one of the themes that emerged, is how much one is willing to sacrifice for their art. And, I feel like the film asks that question. and people kind of weigh in. You know, there are various perspectives that are offered from some of the greatest living writers in the country about Larry Levis specifically, and about art in general. I mean, Stanley Plumley in the film very pointedly says that, you know, one could argue that he feels that Larry Levis's story is a cautionary tale, and that he felt that it was a slow suicide. And then you have on the other end of the spectrum somebody like David St. John, or Larry Levis's sister Sheila, who says that it was a miscalculation. You know, it was an absolute miscalculation. He never intended to die. He didn't want to die. There was no death wish, you know, secret death wish or something like that going on. So you get a full range of perspectives in the film about that issue.
Larry was the most devoted writer I think I've ever known, and David St. John chimes in with that same opinion during the movie. He was willing to stay up all night in marathon writing sessions, and I often would, he was in touch with his writing all the time, and it was a constant part of his life, so that it affected his relationships, his love affairs and his marriages. It affected his friendships, mostly in a positive way, but because I loved going out to dinner with him and he'd be talking about poems he was working on, and I'd talk about poems I was working on, and we had a great time doing that. But he also was willing to employ substances to keep himself awake and alert as he worked. And that turned out to be more of a problem, I think, than he ever imagined it would be.
What do you think Levis means to Fresno today, you know, looking back at his life?
I think that his work is extremely important to young writers and young people more generally who grow up in that area, because it gives them something to aspire to and be proud of. His many friends and, you know, fellow poets who live in that area and continue to teach there all find his work worth giving to their students and to the people they're mentoring because of that same reason. It gives them inspiration. It gives them confidence. It gives them something to aim toward. It's an unlikely story, I suppose, for many people that a guy could come from, you know, a very modest background, growing up among people who were not entirely, you know, sophisticated literary types or anything like that, although his mother was a great reader and she cared a lot about literature. But it might seem to people unlikely that a person from Fresno could end up becoming an internationally famous poet. But it never seemed unlikely to Larry himself, because he had Phil Levine as an example. So the effect of having such people as Phil Levine and Larry Levis come from or work in Fresno, California, gives people a completely different sense of what possibilities are there for them, I think. And it gives them a different sense of self-confidence as they move forward in their own lives, whether they're involved with writing poetry or not. It shows that being from Fresno is not really a limitation at all.
So tell me about the Fresno premiere. What can we expect? When is it?
The Fresno premiere is Friday the 18th at the Tower Theater, and it starts at 6:30. I will be there in attendance. Gregory Donovan, who you just heard from, will be there in attendance. He's the producer. He's also in the film. Poet David St. John will be in attendance as well. We interview him quite extensively in the film. And there will be a number of his family members there, friends, students from all over the area should be there. I think it's going to be a really good time. And also, I have to say that the Tower Theater, where we're holding it, makes an appearance in our film. It was one of my favorite shots because we did a time-lapse shot of the Tower Theater and the neon kind of ball at the top there we spent, I don't know how many hours outside kind of doing this one time-lapse shot. But so that makes an appearance in the film. So I think that'll be fun to show the film there in the theater and see that scene.
We've been chatting with Michelle Poulos and Gregory Donovan. She's the director and he's the producer of a film, A Late Style of Fire, Larry Levis, American Poet. Thanks for joining me.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having us, and we hope to see everyone there.
You're listening to Valley Edition.